Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Sports Grid Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is Davis Matic. You guys can find me on Twitter at Davis Matic. I am joined, as always, Friday afternoons, Rich Rebar, Lord Reebs from Sharp Football. Hopped on his show yesterday. You can find that in wherever you listen to podcasts. You can go check out our Twitter accounts. You can listen to that if you guys want more of Rich and I. And so we record this around lunchtime, and my dogs didn't want to come in. They were, you know, they actually love it when it's cold outside. And I think it's just because they didn't want me to have to talk about these shitty games. I think they were like, dude, you should get some sun. You should hang out here with us. Like, why the fuck do you want to talk about these awful slate of week 11 games?
Do you guys have the sun where you are right now?
It's actually, it's insane. It is like one of the sun, like not a cloud in the sky, nothing but sun, but it is like 23 degrees outside. It's You always hate that. If it's going to be cold, yeah. I want it to be gray. I want it to be fall. Like I don't want the sun shining and it not warming my skin.
Nah, yeah, it's super cold here, and we're at that point. We had like one week where it was like the last taste of like 70 degrees, and then just like it went from like 70 to 30. Like there was no in between.
Yes.
I always joke, we just don't have seasons anymore. Like we basically just have winter and summer.
I know it's so obnoxious, dude. It's like actually horrible. The lack of, like, we literally had like 4 days of fall in the Midwest. It was terrible.
Yeah. Last year, there was no spring, like the leaves and stuff on the trees didn't even like come back and get green until like May. It felt like, it was crazy, but yeah, what are you going to do, man? No, we'll take it. But yeah, these games, and you saw, I don't know if you saw the NFL, like they're trying to really hawk this season as, have you seen this like move that they're on where they're trying to hawk the season as this being the closest NFL season ever? That's how they've swerved into the skid this year.
Yeah. That means that it's terrible. Like that means like, dude, if the Buffalo Bills are going to be losing to the Jets and Vikings and back-to-back weeks, like, you know, something has gone squirrely with the season.
They've gone from, yeah, like, you know, the scoring's way down, like that it's been in like the, like then like in recent years, and their angle is to take, well, the games are close.
I only want a close game if it's 35-32. I don't want a 17-16. No one has time for that.
Like, no one wants to leave a movie theater after 2.5 hours and be like, I guess the ending was all right.
Yeah, like I guess honestly, the easiest thing is like, who what teams' fan bases are feeling like really awesome about the season that
all
their teams
them,
are having.
All 32 always.
I guess that's kind of the, I guess that is maybe the wrinkle is that people are jazzed that their teams are like winning or have a chance to continue, yes, to win.
Have you encountered, yeah, Jets Twitter this year?
It's really some incredible stuff actually out there on Jets Twitter. If you're a member of Jets Twitter, don't stay tuned for the rest of the show because I'm picking against your team. All right, what's your number five? Start us off with your number five.
My number five is probably my least confident one. That's why it's number five. I struggled to find a fifth I felt pretty good about. I'm going with the Bengals. Maybe you have a better one for me as we move on. So I'll be curious to listen to you. This, like you said, the slate's just not great. I haven't been like wanting to take a lot of these big, large favorites this year. So I'm going with the Bengals. Just one of these kind of things where you look at the quarterback play and it's just so night and day. The Bengals, I don't really know what they are though right now. I think we talked about this on my show yesterday too. Like, I don't know they were awful against the Browns the first game of Jamar Chase. Then like, I don't know like what to gleam away from the Panthers game, right? Like, I don't know what the hell. Like,
it just doesn't count. That game just doesn't count in my opinion.
But I mean, Joe Burrow's performance compared to Kenny Pickett so far is so like amazingly different. I'm just going to go with the good quarterback here on a team that I just believe is at least a little bit better. I don't think Burrow has 5 turnovers again. And that's what the Steelers needed earlier in the season in week one to kind of push this team to overtime and win. Kenny Pickett now on throws 10 yards or further downfield.
So season, bad.
20 of 53. That's 37.7%. He has 0 touchdowns. Remember, the longest touchdown the Steelers have scored this year is 8 yards out. And he has 7 interceptions. He's had like a ridiculously hard schedule, like for any quarterback, let alone a rookie quarterback. But I mean, Lou Amoremo's got him in the bag, I think, here. I think this is going to be a game where the Bengals kind of win this game. I don't love the total, but I'm just going with it at the five spot.
Okay, my number five, similarly a team that I have no confidence in. So like does not sound like either of us are really confident in the Bengals, but we are anti the Steelers. Same spot for me for my number five. I got the Saints -3 against the Rams. The Rams were already the worst offense in yards per play in the NFL, and now they lost their only good player. So like, what, you know, you're Sean McVay, how do you try and win this week? Well, you're probably going to just try and run the ball, be pretty conservative, maybe use Allen Robinson some more in the slot. RotoPat tweeted this a couple weeks ago that Allen Robinson is actually the only player in NFL history to have negative yards of separation. The defenders are actually inside of his body at the catch point. And so I the slot, I guess, could maybe help with that. But basically, the Saints just get a good Alvin Kamara game and like a C-plus Andy Dalton game. Can the Rams get to 14 without Cooper Kupp? Like, honest to God, I don't know if they can. So I don't feel good about the Saints. Don't feel good about the Andy Dalton experience. I guess they do have Jarvis Landry back, so they have Olave, Landry. They're not having to use Marquez Callaway and all these, you know, total jamokes they have at wide receiver. But it's really just betting. Like, the Rams have been so bad on offense. I actually think this is the market showing way too much respect to only make this three. I really do.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have this one on, but it reminds me of like last week's game we talked about, that Titans Broncos game, right? Like,
yes,
you know, it very much reminds me that. Don't watch this game. It's gonna be miserable, and you're probably on the right side of it, like last week with the Titans, right? Like, just similar setup. Like, just keep betting against the Rams, keep betting against the Broncos every week. This is like one of the things we can just count on every week. Just do it. Don't watch the games. This offense is just absolutely terrible. You look at Stafford this year. To Cooper Kupp, 77% completion rate, 8.7 yards per pass attempt, 6 touchdowns. To throwing to anyone outside of Cooper Kupp, 66% completion rate, 6 yards per pass attempt, 2 passing touchdowns. I just don't know who steps up, right? Like who on this offense can you believe in? They don't have any running game. They just put another 2 offensive linemen on injured reserve. They're going to be rolling out Van Jefferson, Allen Robinson, and Ben Skowronek at wide receiver. And like, really, Tyler Higbee is the most functional pass catcher they have, and it's Tyler Higbee.
So bad. So bad. Yeah. And like, people are gonna trick themselves into playing Tyler Higbee and DFS and stuff this week. It just really doesn't feel very strong. So that's my number five, and I feel pretty good about it.
All right, you ready for the grossness?
Yes, yeah, yes, let's do it.
I got the Cardinals at 4 here. Just again, another just point bet here. And then this, you know, Cliff has been terrible for his whole career, basically. But the one person he rallies against is Kyle Shanahan.
It's unbelievable. Like, you pointed this out to me. It really is unbelievable.
4-1-1 against the spread as an underdog. The Cardinals against Kyle Shanahan under Cliff are 3-0-1 against the spread. It's 8.5 points. So I'm just going to take them. Like, do I believe they win? No, but can they get it within a touchdown? It looks like Kyler's trending towards, he's going to play. We're recording this Friday morning.
Yeah.
He did practice yesterday. He was running around. It looks like they might get Hollywood Brown back too. So if they have Hollywood, Rondale, and Hopkins, when Kyler all on the field, like, +8.5, like, I'll just take my chances there, plus the history of Cliff, you know, in this matchup particularly being good. So just gonna hold
this was my
those points, man.
This was my three. I know, because you'd warned me about this in the past, but Arizona at home, and you can get
in Mexico City.
I didn't realize that. I probably would would not have taken this, but what can you do? And you can get it if you shop around a little bit. This is 8.5 at FanDuel, and 8.5 and a couple other spots. I mean, I think 8 is fine. 8.5 obviously is a little bit better. I think, I mean, one, Hollywood coming back is pretty big. Kyler coming back is pretty big. And I don't know. It's just like you know my deal. I'm like the most, I am the most 49ers agnostic guy in the world. Cause to me, the 49ers have become, and I'm not the first person to make this point. A lot of other people have made this point too, but Shanahan wants so much of his offense to come off of Yak, that he's actually limiting a little bit of what his best guys can do down the field. You know, Debo and Ayuk and Kittle can kick people's ass 20 yards down the field. And it kind of plays into the defense's hands with the cover two. They're compressing so much of their offense into a small part of the field. And obviously, you know, a lot of this doesn't matter against non-high level teams, but and Arizona's defense has been pretty good. So I think 8.5 feels pretty good. So that was my three.
Nice.
Feel pretty good about it.
What's your four?
The Kansas City Chiefs. you can get this at 4.5 obviously is the best number.
You showed
number.
Some restraint at 4 for the Chiefs here.
Well, the thing is that the Chiefs love to leave the back door open. Absolutely. I mean, they almost left the back door open against the freaking Jaguars 2 weeks ago, last weekend. Like they almost put it into a spot where it's like, we're going to kick your ass up and down for 3 quarters. This game is never going to be within shouting distance, but the back door was open.
I should have won, I feel like, because the Jaguars missed 2 field goals. And how about this? This didn't get any run, I didn't see, but like, so the Jaguars in that game opened the game up with an onside kick, and they get it. And then their first 2 drives end with punts in Chiefs territory. What?
That was crazy. That was crazy.
How do you start the game off with an onside kick, say like, hey, we need to be aggressive and steal possessions in this game, and then you punt twice across the 50?
Yeah. What? Yeah, it really was kind of insane. Like, and I thought that was obvious. I mean, that's a brilliant move. Come into Arrowhead and surprise on kick. Like, I'm all for it. They should have covered. And I know the Chargers are getting healthy, like Keenan Allen and Mike Williams will be back this week. But I actually famous last words, I actually think this might be a game that the Chiefs are motivated from kickoff and don't have to take to you know, get punched in the mouth, because this is a huge game for them getting some rest before the playoffs and they're pretty banged up at wide receiver. If they win this game, they're like 99.8% mathematical already the AFC West champions in week 11. I think like a couple other things have to go their way the next week, but it pretty much wraps it up. So it's a pretty good spot for them. And I mean, has anything been more profitable than betting against this cursed Chargers franchise?
they played good on Sunday night, as good as they could have hoped for, considering who they had on the field in that game against the 49ers. Just offensively, I mean, I haven't seen like if for sure either of those guys are going to play. It looks like they had they've done like individual work at practice, but I don't know if they're for sure going to play. Because Keenan Allen and Mike Williams don't play, it's the same story, man. Like, they just don't have enough offensive firepower right now. Like, it's just sad to see. I tried to bring up the point last week that like Herbert's actually having a good year, which, you know, obviously isn't going to like hold a lot of water for people that just like casually watch the game. But the fact that he even is like in like the top 12 and like EPA for drop back with the roster he's played with this year, at least is a signal to me that like, yeah, they still have something here with it, with this guy. Like, he's good, because I think we put a lot of quarterbacks in the Chargers situation,
they'd be terrible.
This team would be way worse than what it is right now. But yeah, you just look at the pass since week 5, 5.5 yards per pass attempt, only Mac Jones lower, throwing to guys like Josh Palmer. It looks like Gerald Everett hurt his groin last week too. I don't know if he's going to even play too. So it's like, man, if they're missing another body, like, it's just a mess for them to be able to score points. Cause the Chiefs are doing the opposite. They're like, they're getting stuff out of all these ancillary guys. Like, they just are like, well, we'll just pull Kadarius Toney like off the trade wire. We'll grab him and we'll throw him into McCall Hardman's role, and he'll be effective. And you know what, hell, like, even Justin Watson can do some things here for us. Like,
I've always been a Justin Watson believer. So it's,
he's a
Roto-Viz
guy.
Yeah. Beautiful to see him flourish. I think we're going to see a lot of Noah Gray this week. I think they'll probably bring Clyde in from the cold a little bit as well. I think he'll probably be working in the passing. I mean, honestly, watching Andy coach with one of his hands tied behind his back is like, I'm kind of interested to see what happens. Like, no Hardman, who's been their gadget guy, no Smith-Schuster, who's been their most consistent wide receiver. And I mean, come on, dude, Tony for a 3rd-round pick, bro.
Hamstring gets healed.
Yeah.
Looking good.
Yeah.
Scored his first career touchdown.
Well, I'm choosing to believe that him limping into the end zone wasn't him keeping his balance. I'm choosing to believe that was purposeful trolling of the Giants organization.
That's how I took it. Did he say it was like a balance thing?
I don't think he said anything about it, okay. But people on Twitter, of course, you know, the no fun police, they had to tell me like, no, he was actually just keeping his balance. And if he would have put his other foot down, he would have lost his balance. No way.
No way. I took it 100% as like, you know, call an ambulance, not for me moment.
Yeah. 100% call an ambulance, not for me. I completely agree. All right. We did my three. What is your three?
Oh, my three is gross. It's the Commanders. Just going to keep going back to this well on this Texans team.
They're so bad. The Texans are so painful to watch, man.
Yeah, it's rough. Every single loss they have this year is by three or more points. This is a three everywhere. And the one thing that Houston does like moderately decent is running the football. And it's by far the best part of the Washington defense. I mean, they are... they're allowing a first down or a touchdown on just 16% of running back carries. That's second in the league behind the 49ers. Like they're an awesome run D, and it's the only thing that's even like remotely okay about the Texans offense. So yeah, I'm just going to keep going back to the well. The Giants tried to make it interesting laying those points against them last week, but I'm going to lay a shorter number here with the Commanders. But this Heineke thing, like this is all a ruse.
That is why this isn't on my list, is that Taylor Heineke having a 5-sack, 3-interception game is coming at some point. It is a total ruse.
Probably not against the Texans, but.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's just philosophically I'm opposed to supporting Taylor Heineke with my money. But yeah, I mean, honestly, probably they're going to run 39 times in this game. We're going to get maybe more than that. Just
it doesn't look like Stingley's going to play for the Texans. So like one adequate defender.
Yeah.
Off
yeah.
the board.
Oh, so just so brutal. I mean, it is. And yeah, I got no issue. I got no issue with this one. I mean, the Washington Commanders are sitting there telling themselves like, hey, we can make the playoffs, buddy. Taylor Heineke, we're making, I mean, as of right now, the Commanders are ahead of every NFC North team, except for the Vikings. They're ahead of every NFC South team, and they are ahead. They're tied with the 49ers. They're one behind in the loss column. Like they're like, shit, baby, we can make a second wild card. No problem.
And they play the 49ers. They still play the Giants twice.
There you go. So there you go. I mean, yeah. They're ready to go. They are telling themselves, they're telling themselves a story. My number three is, let's see here. I got to find it. Oh, my number
three was the Cardinals.
Oh yeah. Okay. That's why I was confused. I only have two left. So there you go. You can go again. What's your number two?
Oh, my two is the Cowboys, baby. Fire up the Cowboys in this game. Cause this is like the game too, where like the public can't believe the Vikings are like short dogs. Like they're 8-1. Like how they just beat the Bills. Like how is this? And you're probably going to see a lot of, I bet maybe we even get the Sunday that the Cowboys are even dogs again. And you can re-ping this and, you know, the money line them, but where I think Dallas has a couple, you know, distinct advantages in this game. Well, one, they're, if you look at like DVOA, they're like two times better than the Vikings already. But just the pressure, like if Christian Darrisaw doesn't play in this game too, like he's questionable, like it's going to be a huge loss for the Vikings. Cowboys number one in pressure rate defensively. That's like Kirk Cousins number one bugaboo. How about this? One of the greatest things about this season, and me and Pizzuto have talked about this in our show, is that Kirk Cousins is literally having statistically the worst year he's ever had as a starter.
That's so funny.
And the Vikings are 8-1, but he went all these years where Kirk Cousins was actually playing like really well.
And then
like,
the team getting dragged
for like the team being mediocre. And like, it's like inversely, it's like one of the fun storylines this year, but Kirk Cousins has been not good this year. He's got career lows in yards per pass attempt, his lowest touchdown rate, his lowest completion rate as a starter. But under pressure, he's completing just 42.9% of his passes. His completion rate drops 31% versus kept under pressure. We talk about Christian Darrisaw might be out in this game. Really, they're going to have to lean on like this boom or bust running game with Dalvin Cook.
Where Dalvin gets like he does the Saquon Barkley thing, gets like 11 carries in a row for 1 yard and then busts off a 58 yarder.
Yeah, you look at like his success rate metrics and everything, like they're all bad, but he's going to pop a big run. He's been doing it like every week. So I assume that'll happen here again. And then, you know, just off, the offense defensive side too, I just think the Cowboys are going to really be able to move the ball. The Vikings are kind of like a bend but don't break defense under Ed Donatell. They give up a lot of yards. They give a lot of yards per play. They have a lot of passing yards per play. Dallas looks like they're getting right. They blew that game last week. What are you going to do? It happens, but I still believe Dallas is just a lot better team. They have a better like individual matchups here across the board. And I know that the Vikings have been kind of like this team of magic this year, which is anti-Vikings, but I'm definitely taking the Cowboys here.
I mean, my only pushback on that is one, I'm just like philosophically opposed to betting on the Cowboys due to my long and sordid past with them. Two, the Vikings just feel like that team. They can't keep getting away with this team, don't they? I mean, it's just like, you know, they just have all these miraculous things bounce their way. Every team against them just like does their stupidest thing in the season. And then, you know, obviously the return of Zeke is going to make their offense worse. Like you hate to see that. But I got no issue with this one.
I'm not so anti-Vikings as like they're like what some people are like they're so overrated. Because I do think that Kevin O'Connell is doing some good things. Like I think they're doing smart things.
Yeah,
they've just run hot. Like, you know, that's really all it is.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, my number two is the, let's see, it's the Detroit Lions +3 against the New York Football Giants. Honestly,
yesterday you were gonna take this one.
Yeah, same philosophy honestly as your Vikings selection, which is that their record, they are out above their skis. It's not as if the Giants have found some recipe for success to turn them into a great team on offense. They're pretty average in yards per play. Actually, no, I take that back. They are way worse than average in yards per play. They are a worse yards per play offense than the Houston Texans and the New York Jets. Like they are diabolical specifically as a passing offense. They have a 5.4 net adjusted yards per attempt. So that's the YPA that adjusts for sacks. They are the same as the Los Angeles Rams in net adjusted yards per attempt. And unlike the Chicago Bears and some of these other teams that are able to generate good results, they're not that great running the ball either, which seems to be a problem. Like you'd think like, oh, Daniel Jones, Saquon Barkley, they got to be a really good running team. They're like middle of the road, which comes back to the Barkley problem that he's just such a home run hitter. So it leads to a lot of three and outs when you're second and 12 and then you hand the ball off to him and then it's third and 14. And then you're like, all right, Daniel Jones, bail us out. So it's not great there. I don't want to be too positive on the Lions or anything. They're fine. That's really all I got. DJ Shark is back at practice. I don't think he's going to play in this game. Also, they are going to get Josh Reynolds back this week. He is a lot better than Khalif Raymond, but obviously this pick is not about the Lions. It's just about saying that the Jets are getting the Giants are getting too much respect.
Yes, I bet the Giants last week, and it wasn't fun watching. It wasn't a fun experience watching it, but you know they keep covering. So I don't know, man. They're another one of these teams. Just like, yeah, you want to keep shorting them, like the Vikings.
I mean, yeah, that. But the Giants are the same thing as the Vikings. They can't keep getting away with this team, yep. And then they do in fact keep getting away with it.
I don't mind. I wouldn't be surprised if you told me like, you know, it's 4 p.m. Eastern on Sunday that the Lions beat the Giants. I wouldn't even blink.
Yeah. All right.
We both have the same number one. I think this might be the first time in 11 weeks we have the same number one, which is pretty rare. We used to always be in lockstep. And I think
It was back when the Ravens and the Chiefs used to be cover machines. But I mean, I think the fact that we very rarely had the same number one is very indicative of just the random ass results that the season. It's just hard to be that confident in any result.
I guarantee you we have the same one though right now.
The New England Patriots?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, How the fuck would the Patriots not 3 points, dude? The insane touchdown favorites minimum.
They've won 13 straight games against the Jets with Zach Wilson there. I mean, everyone's dropped like the Zach Wilson like on and off pressure stuff, and he has 91 career dropbacks against the Patriots the past 2 years. He has completed 45 of 84 of those passes, 2 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. He's been sacked 7 times. Under pressure against the Patriots, he's been under pressure 45% of his dropbacks. Think about that. One of every 2 dropbacks, the Patriots have pressured him. He's 10 of 34 under pressure, 1 touchdown, 4 interceptions. And he's thrown like some of those heinous interceptions I've ever seen a quarterback throw against the Patriots, like both years. Like these aren't like real interceptions that you see. It's like someone playing mad and are like, you know what? I'm just hitting the button anyways. I don't want to throw it away and I don't want to take the sack. Like the one he threw earlier this year where like it's a clear throwaway situation and like he just throws it in play still. Like that was the one, if you ever saw the all 22 where Garrett Wilson's like jumping up and down, like he can't believe it's happening.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, man. It's just one of these things. It should be a lot larger. You're at home. You've got the Patriots coming off a bye. Both teams are off a bye, so it's not a huge advantage. You got Patriots under Belichick off a bye. I mean, this is the kind of like a slay the dragon moment for the Jets, I guess, because they've lost so many games in a row and they beat the Bills a couple weeks ago. So like, you know, everyone's looking at it upset, and they beat the Dolphins too already this year. Obviously Tua didn't play in that game, but they're looking at it like, oh, we could beat every team in division this week. So I don't know. It's not happening though. Mac Jones sucks though, man. This dude, I don't like betting on him, but
that's the thing is it's not like we're like, oh yeah, you know, the ground and pound game with Damian Harris and Ramondre Stevenson. It's like, no, it's like the Patriots are going to stink in this game too, and we'll probably escape by this one by the hair of our chinny chin chins. But you know,
yeah, this is like a 2-touchdown game for both teams.
Yes. Yeah. And I guess we got to hope that the Jets miss some field goals. I mean, I can't imagine. And I mean, look, I'm sure the line is right. I'm sure the books have decided that this is the right way to do it, but no chance am I doing this. It's absolutely insane.
Yeah, the first time these teams played a few weeks ago, I mean, the Jets were in kind of control of that game. They had a pick six right before the first half, and there was, I think, a roughing the passer that negated it. And then after that, like, they just never did anything the rest of the entire game.
Yeah, yeah. It's a joke, man. Like, I choose to feel the same way about the Jets that I do about the Giants, which is that it's all smoke and mirrors and it's all being done on the back of just like specifically in the case of the Giants, just a lot of unsustainable good luck in games, like things that have never happened before in the NFL happening.
At least
for them.
With Daniel Jones, like we can keep pointing to like we know, I mean, the Giants have to make a decision this year. Honestly, they have to give him like a short-term contract, kind of maybe like what Jameis got with the Saints, because they did too well this year to get another quarterback. But at least we can say with Daniel Jones, like what Daboll is doing is like the countermeasure, just like the lack of good players they've had for the fall to. This stuff, like where the Jets are like outright, like trying to mask that they don't want Zach Wilson to like sink or swim because maybe they already know the outcome of what will happen, is actually probably hurting their franchise more than like a lot of people believe it's helping them record-wise. I mean, this dude, like, he's not throwing at all on first downs. They're really only letting Zach Wilson throw in obvious passing situations, which is making his shortcomings worse, right? Like, a lot of coaches do this. They think, like, oh, we're protecting our quarterback, right? But then he's always throwing in long down and distances, obvious passing situations, which is why I believe you see, like, a lot of his pressure stuff, right? Like, it's probably directly correlated to, hey, we know that they're throwing the football here. Like, you know, we can bring extra pressure, and, you know, it's so – I mean, the Jets, the fact that they don't want to kind of just like let him drown, if it's even going to happen, to figure out exactly what they have. And they're just trying to nudge this thing along and try to eke out these wins. And then eventually have to try to like throw themselves out of a game that isn't going to happen. I don't think it's the right track to take, but this is the path to least resistance that coaches often take.
Yeah. I mean, And for like a develop, like, I think you're right. I think you hit the nail on the head, like developmentally, like as an organization, this is bad for the Jets because they're totally stuck in no man's land now. Like, okay, you got a better roster than you thought. You got Garrett Wilson. I guess you sent Eli Moore to Serbia or Siberia, but like, what's the plan? What's the plan at quarterback? Are you going to draft Anthony Richardson and try and develop him in the back half of the first round? Or are you just going to be stuck on the quarterback treadmill waiting for the guy who can actually change the direction of your team? Or
yeah,
I don't know.
You can't have your quarterback operate the way they're having Zach Wilson operate now. Like, that can't be the plan to come into 2023. Like, just assume they get a wild card. Let's say they backdoor into a wild card, right? And it kind of like gets exposed, like Mac Jones in the playoffs last year, right? Like, you know, you end up getting curb stomped in the playoffs. You're out of there, and you're coming back with this quarterback because he's on a rookie contract. It's only his third year. You made the playoffs with him, so you got to bring him back, right? But like, you can't have your offense operate in this capacity where you're hiding your quarterback. You know, you can't do that. That's not how you win long-term and sustained winning in the NFL. And this is what always comes back to get the 49ers, right? Like, this is what has come back every time with Garoppolo, because they do the same stuff over and over, right? They hide Garoppolo until he has to go out and like win them a game. And then what happens? We do the whole cycle over again.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, yeah, you're right. Zach Wilson is just the new Daniel Jones, the guy does, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo, whatever, like, you know, he's just the new, and he's not even, I mean, no one is making the argument that Zach Wilson is good enough. No one really knows how. Well, I mean, maybe our buddy Selfie, you know, is making the argument that Zach Wilson is good enough, but yeah, it's just, it's a joke. It's, and I don't know. I don't really have a sense for what their plan is. What do you got for DFS this weekend? Are we jamming Bills guys now? Antonio Gibson, my favorite running back play. I think Robinson's going to end up chalk. I think Gibson, you just talked about why the Commanders are going to win that game. Think he can get to 20-25. And Devonta Smith. I just think Devonta, like, Dallas Goddard's out. AJ Brown's got this ankle injury. He's getting rested at practice. I think Devonta Smith goes nuts.
Devonta Smith, cheaper than Allen Robinson on both sites. Very, very fun. You know, when I first like saw the Cooper Kupp stuff, and like I wrote up the game, and I was like, man, what is Allen Robinson in DFS? Because obviously I haven't looked at his pricing in 8 weeks because it hasn't mattered. And I was like blown away that he's actually like priced up pretty well on both sites. I was like, wow, we got conviction going on Allen Robinson here. I assumed he was going to be like maybe 5K on DraftKings and like 5,800 maybe or something on FanDuel. Nope. It's like 66 on FanDuel. And what is he on DK? Is he six? Is he six flat?
Allen Robinson or Devonta Smith?
Allen Robinson. No. Yeah.
I think he is 6K flat. I can pull it up real quick.
Unbelievable though. But I love the matchup for Devonta Smith too, because the Colts, you know, they play zone coverage. One of the highest rates lead. They play cover three. Our guy, Gus Bradley. Devonta Smith leads the team in target rate against zone, and leads the team in target rate against cover three defenses. So I like that call too. And plus, we're probably going to be able to play Hurts, because everyone's going to play Fields.
That's Hurts is my guy. Hurts will be my most owned quarterback. I mean, right now I see him for less projected ownership than our guy, Justin Fields.
I mean, Fields has got to be still on DraftKings projected for the highest, right?
Because yeah.
There's no Mahomes. We'll probably see Josh Allen get a bump, but he's so expensive. You know, both sites had bumped up Josh Allen enough to where at least there was like a decision point to be made. Like, do I want to save this extra, you know, $1,500 somewhere else? But yeah, I think that he'll be the most popular guy in DraftKings still. So yeah, I think I'll be playing a lot of Allen and Hurts this week for sure. On the main slate, I'm trying to figure out which bad receivers I want to play. What bad receivers are you playing this week?
Kendall Hinton is on my list for bad receivers. Although he has so Judy hasn't practiced, but no. Hinton also has not practiced. So that's throwing a pretty decent size wrinkle. Devin Duvernay is on my bad wide receiver list, but he's not even that cheap. He is he's 5,000. I would have played Skowronek, but they bumped him up to 4,500. No chance. 0%.
Yeah, you can play him at like 35 or like 30, like 3 to 35. Like, you can probably like just, you know, because whatever, get me some catches, get me 10 points. Like, it's really it. Because that's what Hinton is. I think Hinton's 3.6. You got Paris Campbell on DraftKings at 43. He's going to be chalk, right? Cash game chalk.
If he plays, yeah.
Yeah, I think he will be, obviously, with the full PPR and then what the short passing game that they've had under Matt Ryan. Nico Collins at 4,100. He's cheap on FanDuel, too, and I think he's more of a FanDuel play because we're really just hoping you catch the TUD. And FanDuel doesn't have as cheap as guys this week as DraftKings, and it's because of the full PPR, you know. Like, full PPR, you can bleed some shit out, you know. FanDuel, you definitely always, you want to have some guy in that range that like you can at least talk yourself into potentially scoring a touchdown, and like Nico's that guy. You're like, oh yeah, Nico can catch TUD.
Yeah,
but we're gonna see some bad wide receivers played this week.
Nico's on my list. The guy I'm hoping for the most, Isaiah McKenzie, is questionable, and Jake Kumerow just went back on the IR. I'd be 100% Khalil Shakir if McKenzie doesn't play. He was really good in his audition earlier in the year. They're in the dome. And I mean, he will be mad chalk. I'm certainly not going to be the only one playing him. But
if McKenzie's out,
If McKenzie's out, yeah.
Because we did already once this year, and he hit.
Yeah, he was good. All right, man. Tell the people about the free week over at Sharp Football.
Yeah, free week at Sharp Football. Everything's open. All the worksheets, all that, all those nuggets are unlocked for anyone to read. All the DFS content is out there. Warren's picks are out there. All the stuff is just open this week. Everything is out there.
Yeah.
Hit it up.
There we go. Sharp Football. Everyone, I'll be back with the Gilcast on Sunday night. Rich and I will be back. Maybe we'll be back next week or not. We gotta drill that down.
Oh yeah.
The Thanksgiving stuff. I don't know exactly what the schedule is going to be. I'll keep all of you guys updated and see y'all next week.